Our Bible reading this morning is found in Psalm 78. It's page 472 in the Pew Bibles, or it'll be on the screen behind me. Psalm 78, verses 1 to 8. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him.
Thank you, Ken. Friends, let me pray. Lord God, we ask again that you would help us, speak to us, encourage us, instruct us, correct us, and inspire us to live as your followers in different roles, whether it's mothers, fathers, friends, neighbours, in such a way as that we could raise up the next generation to know and love and trust in you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, today is Mother's Day, and we do remember our mothers, their love, their hard work, their commitment. And we do remember that mothers can have a profound influence on children, and we thank God for them. But secondly, today we also continue to think of God's concern for the lost among the nations of the earth. And in our mission appeal, we're seeking to raise $60,000 to support 8 different projects and ministries throughout the nations. The aim is men and women, boys and girls, mothers and children, fathers and children would find forgiveness and new life through Jesus Christ. And so I ask the question, what is our calling as parents, mothers and fathers, and as a community of Christians towards our children, and how can that calling promote the glory of God amongst the nations? Because I think that if we are gripped by the gospel and we are active in world mission, either by going ourselves or by praying and giving so others will go to the nations, then we will model to the next generation what it means to live God-centered lives. As mothers and fathers, we will have a Christ-exalting influence on that next generation. And that next generation was down here earlier, and there are a couple of generations in here as well. What is it that my children see when they look at me or my wife? What is it that they hear us talk about? What is it they see us invest in? And what influence will that have on them into the future? Psalm 78, as you've just heard, the first part speaks about passing on the word of God to another generation so that they would believe the gospel, who would then pass on the gospel to another generation. It's really written to Israel to remind them not to repeat the sins of the past, where they failed to remember God's saving acts and they failed to obey God and they went into sin. And it's an encouragement to God's people, the Jewish people in about the 8th century BC, but I think an encouragement to us not to forget the word that we have received, but to hold on to it, to pass it on to people who will then pass it on to others beyond them. It's a wonderful calling as God's people. But the first thing I want you to notice is that it's all about God. They will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. And the Lord there is in capitals, which is the name Yahweh, God's personal name, his power and the wonders he has done. And I want to remind you right at the beginning that what ought to be central in how we parent our children, mother or father, is that we center them on God. It is God who has praiseworthy deeds, power, and wonders. Israel had seen it. We have seen far more this side of the cross. We have seen Jesus raise the sick, or heal the sick and raise the dead. We have seen Jesus die on a cross for us. We have seen him being raised from the dead and offering us forgiveness and new life. And so let's tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. Let's make God first and central in our thinking and in our conversation and in our purposes as families. See, I want my children to know not simply that they had a great time at holiday club or at camp or at kids' church, whatever it happens to be, or at Ngawi Baptist. I want them to know that they met God at Ngawi Baptist, and God is glorious, and God is a great saviour, and he is a great rescuer, and I want to give my life to this God no matter what it costs me. Amen? So we don't want simply our children to be entertained and to be happy. It's good if they're that as well. But in the midst of that they are discovering the God of the universe who ought to be central to everything. I want them to see that there is a God who loves them so deeply that he sent his own son to die on a cruel Roman cross for them. And because of that, they can find forgiveness, security, meaning and purpose, and an eternity with God. But secondly, God has given us his word. Verse 5, God is central, but he has decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel. Now the Hebrew word translated law, Torah, means teaching. And it reminds them that God has given us his word. We know what the truth is and we know how we ought to live. He has given us his teaching. In the New Testament, we read these words, Paul writing to Timothy, and where Timothy had heard the gospel through his grandmother and then his mother, we know. So it's through the women who were faithful to God, who knew the word of God, who have influenced him. Not the men, the women. It says, from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. I love that. Not from when you were 25, from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired by God, breathed out by God, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is God's word, his instruction, his teaching. It leads to salvation. It leads to transformed lives. That's why John Piper writes this very powerfully. It means the Bible will be the sun in the solar system of all that we teach our children. It will not be one among many books. It will be the central book, the all-permeating book. The other books are dark planets. The Bible is the light-giving sun. All the other books will be read in the light of this book. All books will be judged by this book. All books will find meaning in the worldview built by this book, which means that this book must be known first and known better than all the other books. Now, when I say that, I feel guilty sometimes. Do you? You know another book much better than the Word of God? You know the Sydney Morning Herald better than the Word of God? Your kids love some other books. Oh, I understand. We read a lot of books to them. They're entertained. And when they're little, I remember there's one book that Chloe read. You know what? When you've read it 500 times, especially the ones with the flaps and the pictures, we're not saying you don't enjoy those books or kids don't enjoy those books. But really, ask the question, which book do your kids love the most? And which book do you love the most? Really? And you know which one you love the most by which one you go to more often? And God has given us his word to instruct us, to grow us, to measure everything else through that word. The Bible is a fixed deposit of truth to pass on to each generation. Paul tells Timothy, guard the good deposit that has been entrusted to you. 2 Timothy 1:14. Pass on the gospel, the truth that we have a record now in the New Testament. Hold on to it, and I've entrusted it to you. Hold on to it. Pass it on. Preserve it and transmit it to each generation. Thirdly, not only do we have the word, the parents are to teach his word. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children. We have the word called to teach it. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Instruction means to teach, to instruct others. Deuteronomy 6:4-7 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. In every area of life, we are to teach the word of God. So how do we do it? We do it at home, from infancy. Have you got young children? Read Bible story to them. Get Christian videos. Do quiet times with your kids. Because as they grow up, they won't want to do it with you sometimes. But invest in them early so they develop their own patterns of Bible reading and prayer. Buy some family notes, personal Bible reading notes for all ages. Kids' church. See, it's not simply parents who raise up the next generation. It's the community, it's the church. And together, we are raising children in those rooms and down in that room, those little 3-4-year-olds running around singing songs and remembering one idea or two ideas. We're teaching the next generation through kids' clubs and scripture classes and holiday clubs and youth groups. Friends, I always was challenged many years ago about the whole idea of playing the movie forward. You know what that means? Your actions now often have repercussions in the future. Sometimes you make a bad decision now, and there are repercussions in the future. You make some good decisions now. Play the movie forward. What happens later? And I think about that in every area of my life, but I also think about it with raising children. Now that I've raised them, I have no responsibilities. Right. You know, they're all older now, right? No concern. They're all fine. Yeah. But you play forward, you think, sometimes when you're tired, you don't want to do this, don't worry about the structures, don't worry about teaching, we'll just get by 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 5 months, 3 years, 10 years. You play the movie forward, if you're not instructing them in the Word of God, you're not praying with them, you're not modelling Christianity to them, where will they be? No, I'm not putting any pressure on anyone here. Because sometimes when you do all the right things and love them and serve them, and other things come in their way and they walk away from God. But the biblical principles are still true. Raise them in such a way that they would love God and know God and put them in the place where they're going to be learning from others. One of the things that breaks my heart is Christian parents who don't expose their kids to Christian community. They're at church once a month maybe, or they turn up and then they wonder why their kids aren't interested in going any longer. Play the movie forward, because how you teach and how you model impacts where they will be in the future. But I want to also say, you need to teach by modelling. There are plenty of kids who've heard their parents teach them but want nothing to do with Jesus because they've been so ungodly in their homes. So unloving towards each other as parents, critical of others, talking the church down rather than talking it up, because it's God's church, it's God's body. Having a problem with temper or some other issue, or alcohol abuse, manipulation, control in families. Kids say, if that's your Jesus, I want nothing to do with that. So you need to model Christian living. So whether you are dressed up as I am now with my long pants, or whether you're in your shorts at home at a picnic, or even in your board shorts showing off your legs at the beach, in all stages of life, you're to model Christian living For those who don't know why everyone's laughing, I hear someone mention my shorts last week in a sermon. So I was going to have three photographs up in me in shorts, but I thought, no. But what we're saying, whether you're on a beach, or at home, relaxed, comfortable, formal, in a suit, whatever it happens to be, you're called to be godly, right? You're to be like Christ. That there's consistency in your Christian character. Don't just look good at church and be awful at home. You teach and you model. It does mean also that when this, for example, if I can find my bulletin, when this comes out, for example, and I take it home with my children, I say, hey guys, over dinner one night, do you know, in May, I say to my children, we're trying to raise money for these groups of people. Do you know where Indonesia is? No, I don't know. Let's get out a map. Or get your phone out and Google it. Kids, they're trying to reach non-Christians there. And Africa, do you know where Malawi is? No, where's Malawi, Dad? What language do they speak in Malawi? What religion are they, Dad? Mum? So, well, most of them are Muslim. Let's just have a look at how many Christians are there. And here's the photograph of the Christians who are working there. So why don't we pray for Jono and Heather and the others there? So what I'm saying, this is a resource for our children to be instructed in God's plans and God's purposes as well. And so you model not simply by giving yourself and praying yourself, but it's teaching the next generation to have a mission heart. And you might say to them, well, what do you think we should give to help them? Do you have some pocket money you might like to give to this? Or we're going to skip a couple of coffees to make some money. Or we're going to take out of our savings. And what I'm saying is these conversations have to happen with our children, not simply with our spouses. We teach by modelling, and that's in every aspect of life. Fourthly, our children will know the testimony and teaching of God and pass it on. Because as we teach our children to know God's word, they will then tell it to the next generation. It says, so the next generation would know them, we want them to know the word, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn will tell their children. So we're passing it down the generations. But parents teach for the purpose of children knowing. Now, you can't guarantee that if you teach the truth, that they will know the truth. But that's your hope. That's your prayer. You'll teach it, praying that they will embrace that truth. Sometimes in families, two kids, you teach the same. One receives the gospel and the other one walks away from God. Some very, very far from God. Militant atheists against your faith sometimes. Now, that's between them and God. Our responsibility is to teach that they may know it. And that's our prayer, who will then pass it on to the next generation. And friends, when we work with children, it's so important in our children to invest heavily, because we know from statistics that most people come to Christ before their 21st birthday. Now, they used to say that 90% of children come to Christ before the 18th birthday. This is from surveys in the United States. The latest surveys say that's not quite true. And it looks like, if I put that on the screen, the first one, their surveys in the US, the recent surveys, indicate that 43% make a decision for Christ before the age of 13. Then it's 64% before the age of 18. And then 73% before the age of 21. Which gives me greater confidence in doing Christianity Explained and other things, because at least one in four people get saved when they're older, right? So, and how many people got saved after the age of 21 in this building? Could you raise your hand? All over the place, right? Praise God. So let me encourage you to witness your friends, pray for your friends. But what we're saying, though, 75% of people are going to make those life decisions about Jesus in their younger years. That's why the church should focus and invest in that generation. But also interesting how they make decisions or who are the key influences. Because we teach in them receiving and knowing it. Those who embrace Christ before their teens, under the age of 12, half were led to Christ by their parents. They're talking to your children and you say, and their kids, as some of mine did when they were younger, I'd like to pray to become a Christian. Well, let's pray together. You could be in the lounge room, you could be in the bedroom, and expect that as you teach your children about Jesus, and you say to them, do you want to give your heart to Jesus? Do you want to follow him? If they say yes, they'll say, well, wait till you're 15, son, daughter. No. You pray with them to receive Christ into their lives at that point. One in five were led in by some other friend or relative and a whole bunch of other things. Ministers prompting, 7%. So don't rely on me or Brett. The minister is in the hands of the people of God, the community of God, right? Primarily in the role of the parents. Those who accepted Christ between the ages of 13 and 21, the process was more diverse, they found. You can understand that. Teenagers are not listening to parents anymore. They'll listen to a youth leader or someone else. One of five, 20%, said it was a friend who brought them to Christ. 20% parents. Again, so I'm down from 50 to about 20%. 20% said there was an event was a trigger. We often see that with teenagers. They hear the gospel, they go to a conference, and they get challenged, and that was the challenge to take that step of faith. 16% listed a relative other than a parent as a primary influence. So that's fantastic, isn't it? If you're an uncle or an auntie, a grandparent, you can have a significant influence on young people coming to Christ. Ministers, again, one in every 10. The minister is in the hands of the people. We've proclaimed the gospel and the word gets out, but you're amongst the people helping them come to know Christ. See, my mother, as loving as she was, she just didn't know Christ. So she couldn't pass on the gospel to me. I didn't have a Eunice or a Lois as Timothy had. My father, likewise, did not know the gospel, therefore could not pass it on to me. So God brought other people into my life to share the gospel. I have nieces and nephews. Not that they're asking me about Jesus yet, but I'm around, and if something happens, you never know what conversation you might have about Jesus. Be available. Fifthly, our children will put their confidence in God. Then they would put their trust in God. There's a gospel, you pass it on, they would know the word of God, and then the next step, as well as knowing it, then make a decision to believe in him, that they would embrace it and come to faith. Faith, repentance, baptism, discipleship, confidence, courage, and strength. Friends, it's exciting when that happens, isn't it? And I've been here for almost 22 years now as a senior pastor, and hypothetically, I'm just thinking of my Caitlin, who was 4. She's now 26. I am feeling old, right? And 1997, a whole bunch of other kids. Those 4-year-olds are now 26-year-old youth leaders, kids club leaders, Bible study leaders, and missionaries. Because not simply the parents, but you as a church invested in them, loved them, youth leaders, kids leaders, they will become servants of the living God. There's one final stage, though. It's not enough to put their confidence in God. Next stage and final stage is the life of obedience. Verse 7, then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. Trust God, remember the lovely, praiseworthy deeds of God, the death of Christ, his resurrection, forgiveness, a new life. That's central to them, and that they would then begin to obey his commands. Worship and fellowship and discipleship and ministry and mission locally and globally and investing their lives in the things of God. And friends, we must develop well Christians. Firstly, we must be well Christians ourselves. We must help to develop well Christians. That they know, as I said earlier, where Burkina Faso is. They know where Lebanon is and Bali and Thailand is. They know that normal people live there and go there. They understand that God has a heart for the nations. They'll invest their lives possibly for the nations. And we have sent some of our own children to the nations, and many of you support them financially and in prayer to keep them there sharing God's good news. So as I conclude, what is God's calling as parents, mothers and fathers, and as a community of Christians towards our children? And how can that calling promote the glory of God amongst the nations? Well, friends, it is to pass on the word of God to them so they would know it and put their trust and their confidence in God. And once they do, I think they cannot help but be inspired to promote the glory of God among the nations. And when God calls them to go, let them go to the nations. When God calls them to go, let them go. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word and your truth, your praiseworthy deeds. Christ's sacrificial death on the cross, his resurrection victory. We pray, Lord God, that as adults we would know your word, that it would be the center, the sun of the solar system in our hearts and our minds, that we would pass it on to the next generation, who will pass it on to the next generation, that we would not turn from your word into sin, but we would continue in obedience and God-glorifying ministry. Lord, we do pray for our children and the next generation. We pray for those in our families, maybe children or grandchildren who do not love you, do not know you. Some are very far from you. Lord, we ask that in your mercy you would speak to them, open up their hearts to receive the gospel. May they find peace with you through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant us wisdom, patience, love, generosity as we treat them and others. And Lord, may that generosity show up in how we live and how we give to the work of the gospel locally and globally, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, why don't you take out a response card? What's God said to you this morning? Your own personal walk with God? How you parents? How you can serve grandchildren, nieces, nephews, friends, others? And we appreciate your feedback. If you are visiting this morning, there's a visitor side. Love to know you've been part of our service this morning. If you would like to join our Christianity Explained group, let us know. That starts tomorrow night, 6 Monday nights, and you're most welcome to come. And if you have a question or a prayer need, please let us know. We'd love to follow you up on that. But we hope you have a lovely day today. God bless you. Thanks for joining with us.